Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us on our first pilot episode of this awesome new show that we're putting together. Yeah, it's our first episode, our first pilot. Cool. So, yeah, if you like this, make sure you reach out and let us know. Give us some good feedback so we can keep doing this. Make it a, you know, sign the year contract so they can keep bringing us back. That'll be awesome. But, yeah, so basically, I'm just going to give you a little bit of behind the scenes of why we're doing this show, basically what the show is going to be about. So, you know, the reason we're doing this show is we want to get a chance to really get out there and talk to the developers.
About games,
yes,
and the game
right?
industry,
so, yeah, so we want to make sure that we get a chance to do, like, a one-on-one. You know, we can chat about the cool things going on inside the industry.
Even some of the gripes, some of the problems in the industry.
We're definitely going to touch on
how to overcome them.
Yes, because, you know, all of us, we all, being in the industry, we've all been through the pain points. So, yeah, exactly, like, getting that conversation, right, talking about the pain points, talking about what it's like to be in the industry, as well as I'm going to kind of take it, like, the format of where I'm going to do, like, a kind of demo/tips section at the beginning of each show.
I'll give you guys some advice along the way. I'm an app developer for the past 3 years, but speaking of that, I want to learn more about your name because I'm really interested about that.
Okay, yeah.
How do we come up with Scruffy Firm? Because you know what? That I'm pretty sure even I want to know. How the heck did Scruffy Firm?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are kind of wondering, what is this Scruffy
what
Firm?
Is
how
Scruffy
did this
Firm?
How did this come about? Okay, so I guess the easiest way for me to put it is it's kind of the amalgamation of two nicknames that I've had in the past.
Okay.
The first one was given to me back when I was in high school, and I was first, like, starting out building websites and stuff like that. And we created a kind of an interesting website that I can't name because of various reasons. But basically what happened was people were just referring to me as that website name. It
just
made
Fern.
Sense. Everybody kind of remembered me. And, yeah, and then they basically just shortened it up to Fern because people got sick of saying too many words,
gotcha.
Right, because we're all lazy and want to catonize everything. So basically, yeah, it ended up becoming just Fern, right? And then what happened was I was working at a dev studio. And it was one of those weeks where it was just like crunch week, right? You're not sleeping, you're not eating, you're eating junk food and fast foods and stuff, right? And
Coca-Cola Classic.
You're looking greasy, the hair's all over the place. Well, when I had hair, it was all over the
Dev
place.
Dev life, man.
Yeah,
you know
I got smart, I started to shave, got quicker.
Okay.
But yeah, so anyway, I went into the office one day, and I'm just, got the nice smell of a programmer on me, and I've got this huge beard. And the
needed
first
some axe.
Yeah, I definitely needed some axe.
Need some axe.
I walked in the door, and the first thing that the guy said to me was, "Wow, you're looking really scruffy today, Fern."
Oh, Scruffy Fern. Okay.
And it just took off from there. Everyone's just called
me
Scruffy
Fern. That's how you
got
the name.
It's my name on Twitter, as well as on, like, Xbox Live and stuff like that. That's how people find me and keep in touch with me. So, yeah, that's the whole thing behind Scruffy Fern. Basically, Microsoft has been nice enough to give me my own platform to kind of, like, talk about the things that I want to talk
about.
They
actually approved that, didn't
they? Yeah, somebody approved this.
Somebody approved you.
Yeah,
ranting.
Let's keep
that's
it down just so they don't find out, right?
Okay,
so
great.
We'll make it last as long as we can. But basically, they're going to give me a chance just to come out and rant about some stuff that I want to talk about, demo some cool tech, give you guys some tips and tricks. And then, of course, we're going to have a special guest. Who you've already
met. I'm the guest
We'll do a better intro when we get into the guest spot, though, and we'll talk about all the stuff.
I can give you guys some tips and advice. I've been in the app industry myself for well over 3 years, making games and apps, video games every single day. That's my lifeblood, doing it all the time. But, speaking of rants, I mean, do you have something that we could actually talk about today? Like, what are your gripes about development?
Oh, I have so many. I have so many. I think
dev life.
I think we could just block off, like, 6 days, and I could just rant nonstop about all my gripes in the industry. But I'll try to keep myself calm, and I'll talk about one, about IDEs.
Okay, interesting topic.
Yeah, so my rant today is going to be about IDEs.
I've got, like, 50 different IDEs myself.
That's part of my gripe, right? So let's dive right in. We'll talk about my rant. So,
all right, fine.
First off,
are you going to tell me that you're going to talk about the rant?
Yeah,
you're going to rant.
I'm going to rant.
All right, then rant.
Okay. So first off, I'm going to get this out of the way. I'm not a fanboy, right?
Okay.
I'm not saying this just because Microsoft signs my paychecks. I honestly love Visual Studio, right? Cue up the hate mail.
You love Visual Studio.
Everyone's got their favorite IDE. I truly love Visual Studio.
Dude, you're not hardcore. Hardcore is Notepad. That's hardcore.
You know what? I bet you right now, I have one of my instructors from school on the other end of this. He's watching this going, I told him to program in nothing but Notepad and use nothing but a compiler. You're right. That's how you do it. That's hardcore.
I used to have to memorize that stuff. All my C#, and, well, actually back in those days it was C, and, just semicolon. We actually did that earlier.
Yeah, yeah. When I was doing the demo, I missed the
mistake,
semicolon.
Man. That was a new mistake.
Yeah. But yeah, and that's the cool thing about IDEs is they can flag those mistakes, right? Yeah. So that's why I go out of my way to actually bother you to use an IDE and not just Notepad, is because of all those extra helping features.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that.
And you know, like I say, I love Visual Studio, and to be quite honest, I feel comfortable in saying that because I've spent a lot of years using all the other development environments. I've used Eclipse, I've used, you know, Xcode, CodeBlocks, K development, and of course, Mono development. And this is where,
I use Mono develop.
Yeah.
What's up with Mono develop?
Because I'm a game developer and I use Unity, right? I've been spending a lot of my time lately working on the Unity engine and stuff like that. So I've been spending a lot of time inside of Mono development.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm going to pick on Mono a little bit here, but this is more or less because I want to highlight
how... Mono developer.
I want to highlight how awesome my experience is in Virtual Studio.
Okay.
So I kind of need a benchmark, right? So I picked Mono, unfairly I picked Mono development as my benchmark, okay?
Okay.
So
well, let's hear your gripes on that, because you know what, I used Mono develop. I used because I'm in the mobile app world and making games all the time, I use Xcode, I use Eclipse, I use Visual Studio as well, which I do like as well. I've seen them all, right? And I don't have to talk about just one. I'll talk about all of them. But let's hear what you got to say about Mono development. What is it that's causing you gripes?
Well, the biggest thing about Mono development that's bothering me, and it's not so much Mono's fault or anything like that. And I think it's because I am a .NET developer. I code in DirectX. I'm a C++. I write my own engines. I've spent time in school learning Visual Studio.
Right.
So whenever I get into Mono development, I kind of feel like there's just something missing. Right?
I know what you mean. I mean, like, whenever I'm coding right now, we're coding, you know, Armies of Riddle, which is the latest game that we're coding. And, you know, every single time you have to load it up, you know, you're coding something. And then after that, you go back into Unity, and you got that little circle that's spinning there. You're waiting and waiting and waiting.
So, yeah, and, you know, and that's one of the biggest things, right? And
then if you're...
And then if you're targeting other environments, so say I'm using Unity, I'm targeting iOS, now I have to use Mono, and then I have to jump over to Xcode, and you start to get weighed down by your IDEs.
Well, yeah, because one of the things is you have to memorize a lot of different, you know, key commands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, and Mono's come a long way. You've seen the latest release. It's made huge leaps
forward. I actually found out how to speed up Mono.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, load time. Because, you know what, when you first start up using Unity for the first time and using Mono develop, one of the things is Mono develop takes a lot of time. And so learning the little ways of speeding it up and loading things up, I think the actual setting inside of there, I forget what it was. You go inside of options and you can actually turn off a few of the different settings inside of there, but it'll speed up the actual.
So you basically have like a little bit of tips. You know what?
Yeah.
We'll come back to that, and maybe
we'll come back to
when you get a chance, pull it up, and we'll talk about a little bit how you can speed up Mono development. But you know, basically what I'm saying is, you know, Mono's been really good. They've done a lot of work on the latest releases and stuff. They fixed a lot of those big bugs that we've been plaguing them, right?
Yeah.
They have sped it up. I've noticed a huge increase in performance.
Yeah.
Over the past. But that being said, again, I still, when I'm in Mono development, I just feel like there's something lacking, right?
Yep.
And that's basically my biggest problem with Mono
development,
right?
The word is challenge. We overcome challenges.
Yes, and right, and again, it goes back to the fact that I've spent time in Visual Studio and I've learned how powerful Visual Studio is,
right.
And it's made me just realize, like, I don't want to code in anything else.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I even write, like, all my web code in Visual Studio.
Okay.
I don't use other IDEs. Like, I'll copy and paste my code from Visual Studio into another IDE just to use the compiler that's attached.
I'm a mix. I like all the different ones, man. I will use them as long as it gets the job done and it's comfortable for me.
And that's what it boils down to. A lot of it boils down to what are you most comfortable with, right? What are you used to and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But to go back to our issue about, you know, having
Mono
to jump,
development,
Mono
IDEs,
development,
yeah,
having
yeah,
to jump
Visual
between
Studio.
Unity and stuff like that, I kind of thought this would be kind of a good chance for me to segue out of my rant and into kind of how do we fix this issue that we're having with Mono development.
Yeah, you were showing me a really cool, like, tool in Unity that allows us to do this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, basically, I don't know, I mentioned this to you earlier, and you said you didn't really hear too much about this, and I don't know if our viewers have heard too much about it, but recently Microsoft acquired the company Syntax Tree.
Oh, okay. Don't they have that that plugin that actually connects up Visual Studio?
Exactly,
okay.
Right? So Syntax Tree is the creator of Unity VS, which is an amazing plugin that allows you to write code inside of Visual Studio for Unity and debug and everything like that. So Microsoft
does
recently
it make it faster?
Yes, it's a lot faster.
You know what that? You know what that would actually help out if you could speed up my code times, because that's always an issue for me. Is, you know, I have to go back, sit there and wait for the little circle to finally catch up with me, and then I'm like, oh, okay, finally I get to see the stuff.
Oh, yeah, you mean the circle down at the bottom there?
Yeah, when bottom
it's,
right.
It's basically recompiling your code on the fly,
that's what
right?
It's doing, so
it depends on how big your scripts are. And, you know, maybe you should start, you know, doing a little programming, splitting things up, getting your objects into different classes.
But, oh, man.
Well, I'll dissect your
so
coding
what, you're
later.
So, you're going to give me a class on
I think I might later. just it sounds like it. You need a little bit of performance increase.
We're going to call you Teacher Fern now.
Okay, sounds good.
Teacher Fern.
But yeah, so Microsoft picked up Syntax Tree, okay, which means we acquired Unity VS.
Okay.
Right? So, we renamed it Visual Studio Tools for Unity.
Cool.
Just so it's a little bit easier to understand. A lot of people, when they saw
that
VS,
used to cost some money, though. Like, how much is it now?
It's free.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I was going to mention that.
Cool.
I love you jumping like slides ahead of me, but this is awesome. No, actually, that's one of the really cool things about what Microsoft did when we picked it up is we turned around and just opened it up for free.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Right? So now, actually, you can see it on the slide.
So, like, anybody can download it, right?
Yeah, anybody can download it.
You don't need, like, the Pro Edition. You can just use it with the free, or do you need the
For
Pro?
Unity, you can use it for free or Pro Edition for Unity.
Okay.
On the Visual Studio side, you need to have the Pro SKU or higher. So you can't use it for...
Now, is there like
Express
a demo?
Editions.
Okay, is there a demo that people can download of the Pro version to actually experience it?
Luckily, yes. So if you don't have access to Pro, if you don't want to drop the money on the Pro right away, you just want to kind of get used to it, there is a 90-day trial that you can pick up for Visual Studio.
Okay.
As well, as we have
two
really...
You know what's actually pretty cool? Recently, I actually joined the BizSpark program.
I was going to mention that. I love this. You're queuing me up, man. This is great.
Well, no, seriously. Like, I mean, I joined the BizSpark program, and they actually gave me a whole bunch of that software. So some of the stuff
we
talk about,
and that's what I was
absolutely
gonna say.
Free. And, I mean, that's thousands and thousands of dollars worth of stuff for developers out there who want to get access to it.
It's huge, right? Especially when you're a startup, right?
Oh, so huge. It's massive.
One of our programs is the BizSpark program, which is basically the program that allows us to give you access to all the software that we have for free.
Now, is that a global program sort of thing?
Yes, it's global. It's for startups. So there is a couple of qualifications that you need to meet in order to get in there. But they're pretty...
How about good looking? Is that a good one? Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
okay.
It's...
I totally messed you up.
It's fine. I love it. You're hilarious. So basically, so, you know, you have to meet a couple of requirements. They're not like anything strenuous. Been in existence for less than 5 years, making under $1 million. Most startups that are starting up are making less than $1 million. If you're making more than $1 million, why are you asking for free software?
Exactly. Like, now, another buddy of mine, I think he was in school, he told me something called DreamSpark. Is that something?
So DreamSpark is similar to our BizSpark program, but that's for students. So basically what it is, it's Microsoft's way of allowing students to have access to professional grade software to do their schoolwork, to get experience with before actually out in their field, and it's offered up through the schools or through an individual basis depending on the situation.
That's a good option for developers.
So if you don't have Visual Studio Pro or higher installed, and you're like, man, I really just don't have the money right now, or I just don't want to drop it on that yet, there are some options out there for you to get your hands on it and get a chance.
You know
to
what?
Use
that's
it.
Actually good for the viewers. You know, just finding a way to get this stuff for free, especially when you're starting out as an indie, you know, game developer out there, it can be a challenge. I know that myself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, these software and tools will really help out.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what we're trying to do, right? As a startup, you're having a really hard time just getting your company off the ground. You're thinking about things like your product and marketing. You're not thinking about, you know, having to worry about infrastructure and tools and stuff like that.
All right.
So let's take it back.
Tell me what you got. Show me what you got.
Let's
take
it back to Unity VS, right? So Visual Studio's with Unity. So like I said, Microsoft recently just picked up Syntax Tree.
Okay.
So we brought out the tools. We rebranded it as Visual Tools for Unity. And made it free. So first off, I want to show you guys, kind of, people are probably wondering, like, come on, really? Why do I want another plugin, right?
I've got almost a thousand plugins, I'm sure.
Right, and they're probably thinking, what are the reasons that I would really want to bother with this, right? So I got a couple of good highlight reasons, all right?
Okay.
So my first, debugging.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, you know what, like, one of the challenges that I actually have in Unity is when I'm trying to debug something, I have to go back and forth between Mono Develop and Unity. So how is this this solution going to make it better for me?
So that's just the thing, right? Like what we were saying is that you have to, having to jump back and forth constantly is such a pain, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
the debugging issues inside of there, right, are a little bit of a pain. I don't want to blast Mono development because they do a lot of good stuff.
Right.
It's just that around the debugging, you gotta give it to Visual Studio, hands down, the best debugger, right?
Like, well, I've used, you could put like breakpoints and stuff.
Yeah, I'll show that in the demo. But yeah, that's just it. Like I can.
You can do
all that in Mono development and that, but it's just the tools behind Visual Studio for debugging, the performance tools.
All right, sell me on it. You're gonna have to sell me on it.
It's amazing, right?
I still need to see it.
You have the performance analyzers inside of Visual Studio. You've got the unbelievable ability to debug, like step through your call stacks and stuff, right? And the cool thing is, a lot of people have probably experienced Visual Studio with Unity if they've been building for Windows Phone or Windows Store.
Right,
where they're doing the front-end stuff,
exactly.
Right, where you're doing your XAML and your front page, stuff like that.
Well, you know what? Tell me about that, because one of the challenges that I have when I'm inside of Unity is every single time I've got a different platform, I have to go into my build settings and then change the platform and then re-import all my stuff in.
Yeah, that's still an issue, because when you get to other platforms, you're still going to have to push it out for Android. You're still going to have to build it out for iOS.
But like when I'm inside of Visual Studio and I'm doing
But
this,
all that
like,
code that you're writing in there, that's not just your front-end logic, but it's also your game logic.
Okay.
So any of the code that I'm running in Visual Studio, it's not like that code's only going to run on Microsoft products. No.
Okay.
It's what you're doing is you're taking Visual Studio and you're replacing it for Mono development. So all the script code that you're writing.
So you're just basically replacing the IDE.
Yeah, if I was only going to release my game for iOS, I could still build it with Visual Studio and Unity.
Right.
And then when I was done, I would just export it like I would to iOS,
okay,
right?
Okay.
So the cool thing is, though, like you get to debug your actual game code inside of Visual Studio, right? So you get the highlighting, you get all the call stack calls, you got your watches, stuff like that. So all the stuff that
that's a challenge for me every now and again is, my Mono develop will, bug out on me, and it's like, what's the namespace? I'm like, what the hell? I have to reset my Mono develop and all of that stuff.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're saying that, not me.
It's a challenge. I mean,
and
if you're coding in Unity and Mono develop, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and we've all experienced it, right? And that's the big thing. That's why I really love this plugin, is because it's allowing me to use Visual Studio. So the cool thing is, like, at the end of the day, it's debugging inside of Visual Studio. Just press F5. Works just like any other program, right? It just launches. You'll see when we do the demo. It's very, very simple. Very cool, and easy to use.
What?
IntelliSense.
Okay,
so those that don't use Visual Studio all the time, IntelliSense is that really cool.
IntelliSense to understand.
Yeah.
Tell me, what is IntelliSense?
So IntelliSense is like that really cool feature inside of Visual Studio that auto-completes for you as you're typing. So like if I'm typing in like a command, right, like I kind of got a little bit of highlight. It doesn't really show too much here. But so say I had like a player object. It was like game object dot. Okay. As soon as I start typing game, it's going to start auto-populating like object, right? I hit dot.
Okay.
I'll show you guys this after.
So is it like a drop-down list sort of?
No. It fills it. It has a drop-down, but it's filling it in as you go. And it's kind of giving you like, do you mean this? Right, as you go, and you can just like hit enter, and it'll just auto-complete the line.
It's an auto-complete.
Yeah, right, which is awesome. Another big reason is a familiar hierarchy. So a lot of times when you're working in Mono development,
I mean, I get my whole entire project and everything I got, all my different code.
Can we get a capture of his screen real quick, if that's possible?
Yes, I got my Mono development.
Okay, awesome. So you see there, over in the side there, he's got Mono development. And if you look, it's kind of all like bunched together, right?
Your hand just came into my
view. Oh, did I? I'm sorry.
Your hand just came into my, it looks
it's,
so weird.
It's one of those things.
Okay, sounds good. Continue.
Did I creep you
I'll
out?
Forgive you.
Just disembodied hand.
So, floating hand.
So yeah, you've got a bunch of stuff in there, but you see like it's all kind of like haphazardly grouped.
Exactly.
Right? Like if you scroll down there, your scripts are kind of just everywhere, right? But in Visual Studio, your hierarchy is the same as it is in the editor.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a one-to-one. So like in your editor,
you mean like in my project view?
Yeah, in your project view. You've got your hierarchy set up, right,
with
your scripts and then your breakdowns through
there.
When you go into Visual Studio, it's laid out the exact same. There's
that's
no like,
pretty good.
Where did I put that script, right? And having to dig through and spend a bunch of time to try to find it. It's listed however it was listed inside of your project view. So that really speeds up development, right, when you're not having to dig through a bunch of code to try to figure out where did I put that script and that sort of stuff.
All right.
Unity messages inside of Visual Studio.
So what, like the debug console and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, so if I have any debug console calls inside of Unity...
So I don't have to go inside of my Unity.
You
like
don't have... Yeah, so if
things.
I'm running the game, I don't have to flip back to Unity because I'm debugging, I'm in Visual Studio, I'm running the game, I don't really want to have to jump back into Unity to see my debug log. Cool thing is, it pushes those debug logs and any error messages right into Visual Studio.
Now, so is it going to show up? So my logs are going to show up in the error message box pretty
much. Yes, and I'll show a quick little demo of that later as we move on too. But that's a huge for me, especially you know when you're doing debugging.
So less switching back and forth, basically.
Exactly, right? Keeping everything in one area is key in that. And I really love that feature. That's one of the ones that really made it stand out to me. And the last one that I'll point out before I get into the demo is wizard support. All the wizard support inside of Visual Studio works for Unity. So if you wanted to like overload a mono behavior or, or a class inside of Unity, you can use the wizarder, the wizards,
the wizarder, I love
wizarders,
it.
The wizarders support and helpers inside of Visual Studio to actually do that.
Okay.
So you get all that like performance power. Like remember how I was saying all these bells and whistles of Visual Studio?
Right.
I get to use all these bells and whistles on my Unity project.
On the Unity
which
project,
which is awesome to me, right?
Very cool. Now, do I have to recompile? Inside of Visual Studio.
No, so any
to
changes,
get into Unity?
Yeah, any changes that you make inside of Visual Studio are automatically added to the project, right? So it's
like,
as if you were programming in mono
development. But when I go back to my Unity, do I still have to see that spinning circle sort of thing?
Yes and no. It's a little bit quicker, so I don't really
it's
see this.
It's a little bit quicker.
It's a little bit quicker. I don't want to like put it like time frames because I don't know. It depends on the PC and all that sort of stuff.
You're getting me there, man. Come on.
I know, but it is quicker. I will say that. But all the convert. It's not like you know you have to go and open up mono development and compile everything again. It's all there. All the changes are ready. You press play. It's all changed. And ready
all right,
to go.
All right.
So
fine.
Literally,
I'll give this relationship
this plugin,
a shot.
Yeah, you should, because it's an awesome plugin. I mean,
all right.
And I'm not just saying that again. Not the fanboy talking. I literally love this plugin and use it in my production code.
Listen,
so.
You got to show me how to set this thing up.
Okay, fair enough.
I want to see this thing.
Okay.
I want to see it run.
All right. And we did mention though, like before I jump in, we did mention the fact that you need Visual Studio Pro and how we can get BizSpark and DreamSpark to help you out with that as well.
Okay.
It works with Unity Free. Right, so Unity Free or Pro, you don't need the Pro license. It's completely free to use, so download it, use it for free, no cost there. And we have support for both Visual, or not both, but for Visual Studio 2010, 12, and 13.
Oh, so it'll work on Windows 7 as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
But what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up a Unity project that I've created. And this is just a simple project that I got from the Asset Store.
Okay.
It's the 2D toolkit. So,
I've got
you know when they switched over and they started supporting 2D, they made this really cool game.
Right. I know which one you're talking about.
We'll fire it up and let them see it.
It's that guy with the little, like,
it's the little
fire projector.
It's a little spot dude that fires.
Who has that view?
It's like
different
projectiles and stuff. Yeah, so trying to avoid.
Ow.
Okay.
Ow.
That's the game itself, right?
Ow. 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 Ow.
Maybe I want to make a change to this. Maybe there's something wrong with the scripts or I want to change something. So I don't want to fire up Mono Development. I want to fire up my Visual Studio.
Yeah,
I
want to code Visual Studio. My thing, if I double-click on a script that goes to Mono Develop, I have to reload Mono Develop, and it does that every single
time. And sometimes it might load more than one Mono Development.
Dude, I've had it load like several ones, and it keeps on giving me errors. I'm like,
and then you change something you want to
change. So that's when I take my laptop, and I'm like, throw it out the window.
Okay. Okay, so now I know where all these laptops are going.
That's
okay,
right. They're going... They're going to good places. Don't worry. Don't have to worry about it.
All right. So we need to import our plugin, right? So just like any Unity plugin, you need to import it in order to get it to work. So it's just like any other editor plugin.
Right.
So I'm going to go Assets. I'm going to go Import Package. And because I've already installed it, it's going to show up in my list of available packages.
How are your assets? Good.
Yeah, I've got nice assets.
You got some nice assets there, man. You got
Thank
some nice
you. I appreciate that. So I'm going to go to Import Package, and then I'm going to select Visual Studio 2013 Tools.
Okay.
So that's going to actually bring up the importing package dialog. Not much to it, just a couple of dynamic
like
link libraries,
scripts.
Right? Just
Now, do I have to
bridge
have Visual Studio open when I'm doing this sort of
thing? No, I don't have Visual Studio open at all. If you look over here, nothing, no Visual Studio open yet. So I'm just going to go ahead and hit Import. It'll go through, it'll compile the scripts. So there you see at the bottom, we've been generated, we're good to go.
Nice.
Everything's great. So the one thing that I noticed, and this is kind of like a little thing, a little tweak that I'm going to push back to the Unity folks and say, why is it like this? But what happens is you'll notice that I don't have it at the top of the bar there.
What?
If I go up to my bar and I actually click on my bar, it shows up. Kind of weird. I know it's a little weird.
So you have to go up and click on the bar and then it shows
up. And then the actual toolbar shows up. It's a little quirk of Unity, so hopefully that's something that they'll take care of in the future. But
it's a secret code.
Yeah, so just to let you know, when you install it and you
are
get
they
the...
Are they known as Easter eggs?
Yeah, actually that might be an Easter egg. Maybe they're
Dude,
trying to make
did
it.
You know that there's an Easter egg in Microsoft Excel? That if you actually go, I remember in Windows 95, and you click on the help icon, it actually brings out a flight simulator.
Yeah, Dude, yeah, pretty cool, pretty... eh? Written in VB, too.
Serious?
Yeah. Pretty intense.
Dude, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, so just to let you know, go up there and click on it.
Right.
You'll see that it's installed. Like if you've got your console open and you've got messages selected, you'll see that it's generated the dynamic link library, which is a good sign. So at that point, just go up there and just click on any part of the bar, and you'll see Visual Studio Tools.
So like
show
it's
up.
Compiled the actual project.
It's
right?
all there. It's just for some reason it's not refreshing the title bar. Which
okay,
is weird.
Gotcha. Cool.
Okay,
so now what do you do next?
Well, that's it. We've got Visual Studio Tools installed.
That's it.
That's it. That's all it took to install it.
Okay, so it's installed.
It's installed. We're ready to go. So now...
I don't see Visual Studio yet.
We're going to code in there. You want to code in Visual Studio?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing I'm going to do...
You sold me on this.
I'm going to generate some project files.
I want to code in it. I want my money's worth
all right,
here.
All right, fair
I
enough.
I paid nothing, but still, I want my money's worth.
So we go to Visual Studio Tools. I generated the project files just so that I have those. It's not a necessary step in every aspect, but I like to have them just in case I want to link to it or step through something in a debug.
Like generating project files. So you would click on the Visual Studio. So what are you doing here? So you're going to click on what is it here that you're doing?
I've clicked Visual Studios, generate project files. You'll see down here at the bottom that I've gotten a message that pops up says I've been generated, which is great. Then I'm going to open it up in Visual Studio.
All right.
There you go. There's my Visual Studio. It's going to take a second to load in.
So, the pro version has a different color. I mean, I remember using the free or light version or whatever. What's it called?
Express.
Express Edition.
This is actually just a theme.
Oh, okay.
Right? So, are you not feeling comfortable? Here, let me fix it for you.
Oh, no, I'm totally
okay.
fine. I'm totally fine.
If I go to Tools and then Options, I can make you
the
feel
black
at home.
Black type of color is sexy. I like it.
I'll go back to light.
That's why I wore black today.
No big deal. There you go.
Yeah. Oh.
There you go.
Yeah, there
more
you go.
More familiar?
Yeah, man. I feel a little better.
Okay, good.
I feel a little better.
All right. He's more comfortable. We can move on.
All right. Thank you.
So you'll see here down in my Solution Explorer that I have under my Assets folder, I actually have scripts now, right?
Okay, right.
And these are the scripts from inside of Unity.
Okay.
Right? So these are my actual game scripts.
So it's actually ported, mirrored it, basically.
Yeah. So this is what I would be doing in Mono development, only I'm doing it in Visual Studio.
And I like the fact that you were able to open that so fast.
Yeah, that was a couple of seconds? We were, jabbing her away,
so now
and it was already doing.
Do something for me. Just save something right now. Just make a change and save it and go back into Unity.
Okay. So a little earlier, I was showing you I wanted to show some cool features.
Yeah.
So the first thing we'll do is we'll make a change.
Can we do a debug log or something?
Sure. Fair enough. We'll put a debug log in. So we'll say debug. See, this is my IntelliSense. You see my IntelliSense coming up here? You see this? Isn't this amazing? I pressed two keys.
What were the two keys that you pressed?
I pressed D and L, or dot and L. So I pressed three keys. D, a dot, and an L. And the rest of the time, I've just been using IntelliSense to do it.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it basically shortened it up. That's pretty cool.
So a lot less keystrokes, right? At the end of the day, the less keystrokes, the better, right?
That's right, in Scruffy's. What is it? Scruffy Fern Rant?
Scruffy Fern...
Scruffy's Fern Rant. I messed
Scruffy
that
Fern
up.
Log Message.
Yeah, Scruffy Fern Log Message.
We'll make it shorter, though, so that we can actually see the whole thing.
Nice.
Okay, so don't forget my semicolon.
Don't forget your semicolon, man. we should make a t-shirt that says semicolon.
Don't forget the semicolon.
Yeah.
We were doing a debug. I was showing him a little bit earlier before we got on air. I said to him, do you want to see something cool of what I'm going to actually show off on air? And he said, sure. And I did this little, put the debug log in.
And he forgot the
semicolon. And I forgot the semicolon.
You've been coding for how long?
Yeah, the number one.
I still make that mistake.
I know,
don't worry. I still
but
make
like,
that
that's like the number one noob mistake, right? And I went to compile it and we had a bunch of issues. And funny enough, it turned out it was a semicolon.
It was a semicolon.
Okay, so I've added
a
debug log.
This is going to display inside of the log here in Visual Studio, right?
It will, yes.
Okay, let's
see. We'll show both things at once.
We'll show both of them.
So I've made my change.
And you saved it. I want to see.
I saved it.
Because every single time I go back into Unity from MonoDevelop,
I have to sit
there and wait for the circle, and it's got to recompile all those scripts.
It's a little bit of a pain. But what we're going to do is we're going to
take away my pain.
We're going to attach, right? Because we might as well. We're going to debug anyway, so I'll show you
everything
at once.
So what is this? So you're going to click a button called Attach to Unity.
Yes, and that's or hit F5.
Or hit F5. Okay.
Yeah, which is basically the command in Visual Studio to compile and run.
Okay.
Right? So I'm saying compile and run, but in this case, we're just going to attach to a Unity instance.
Cool.
So here it says, oh, look, you've got, you know, your new Unity project open. It goes on there and it says, you know,
so now
you're
if I've got
editor.
Multiple projects, it'll ask me which
one. Yeah, if you have multiple editors open, you can attach to whichever editor you want.
Nice.
Right?
Because, I mean, I don't know about
are you the type of guy that runs more than one Unity at a time?
Dude, I'm the dev who's got, like, several screens going on at the same time. Come on, I'm not the only one out there. I know somebody out there has, like, screens, and they're doing this, and they've got, like, you know, one screen over here and another screen over there. I've got, like, Cinema Director
isn't
on another one.
Isn't that Unity blasphemy to have more than one open at a time, though?
I've got several different Unities going on. I've got one which is compiling on an Apple. Haven't you ever done that before?
Yes, I do.
You know,
I do the remote compiles.
And then on top of that, I got another window going on here. I'm doing Cinema Director, another one, making like some nice, cool movies. Not allowed to tell you what kind of movies, but they're good
okay,
movies.
Okay, fair enough.
All PG. And, you know, it's really interesting because there's so much going on and you want to be like, you know, multitasking at the same time.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I got the six screens.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
But yeah, and that's the one
my
cool thing.
My wife goes insane. She's like, how the hell do you do that? You're a robot.
I have to wear sunglasses. I get so much light off the screens. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
So you select the project.
Yeah, you can select whatever you want. You pick the editor that you want to attach to. In this case, we only have one open. I'm not being crazy and running more than one at a time. So I'm going to select it. And there we go. So now we're attached, right? So you'll notice that, like, if you've done any programming in Visual Studio before, when you go into debug mode, you'll see down here at the bottom, you got ready, your error list pops up, you've got all this, and it looks like debug mode.
So we're
in debug mode. Okay. So now if I switch over to my Unity project, right?
So it does do a little bit of a compile.
Yeah, but if you notice, like, it's gone. It's done.
Okay.
Right? Like, I was just about to click the button, and I didn't even notice because it was so quick. Right. Nice. So it is quicker than mono.
Yeah.
Still has to do it, but it is a little bit quicker than mono. So now we got it attached. So now I want to actually debug, right?
So to make it
a little bit better, how about we set a breakpoint? Set a breakpoint?
Let's do that.
Let's say I'm having an issue. I'm going to stop my debug real quick here so I can add my breakpoint. So say I'm having an issue where this is the gun command, the update for the gun, right? And every time I'm firing it, I'm expecting to hear boom, but I'm not hearing anything.
Okay.
Right? So I think it might be a case of it's just not firing
at the
off
right point.
This audio, audio.play, right? So
right.
I'm just going to add a breakpoint.
Gotcha.
Right there. So now what will happen is when I run through my code, I should be able to hit this breakpoint, right?
Gotcha. And if not, that means it's not firing.
It's not firing, right? Okay. So it's a good way to do a little test. So I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to reattach. And notice that time it didn't ask me? It's like, oh,
yeah.
You've already attached this project.
Okay.
I don't need to look again.
So you just have to,
I know.
You only have to do it
this.
Once, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Unity's got our, or Visual Studio's got our back.
Nice.
So there we go. Now I'm going to actually go ahead and play it, and we're going to see the debug. So I'll go ahead and I hit play. Now this is going to take a minute because this...
We should play the Jeopardy music.
Yeah, we should play the Jeopardy. This computer's a little bit slower. I'm using a thin book, so it's a little bit slower. But it's okay. Now we need to fire, so I'm going to fire.
Oh, sweet.
Well, look at that. It fired right back into Visual Studio, hit my breakpoint.
Dude, you didn't have to wait for MonoDevelop to do its reload again. I like that. That's actually pretty good.
How quick was that, right?
That was like instant, man.
So anybody debugging out there that's had issues debugging Unity before, come on. I just sold you right there.
Dude, that was actually pretty cool. I like that.
Right?
Because you know what? If there was an issue with Mono, like in Mono, it would actually then have to load it up and you'd... Oh, yeah, man. It's a pain.
Pretty impressive, right?
That was pretty cool. Okay.
Now, to go one step further, look at this. I got access to all my variables, right? My auto's right here. Look at this. I can go right inside of it. I can see that it was firing a rocket. I can see where the position
was.
It's
like Unity inspector right inside.
Right inside of Visual Studio. So you got all that
one
power.
Place to have that. Yeah, because you know what? Inside of Mono, you can't do that.
No, you can't.
You can't see that.
Well, you can, but you have to. Not that I know of. Yeah, it's a bunch of drop downs that you have to go through. You can't get to it, but it's a little bit more complicated to scroll through, right?
Wow.
And that's the one thing that I love about this is I just got this pinned and I can see it right there. And I can also, like, so say I wanted to add a watch. Like, I could literally add a watch to audio. So I say add watch.
Okay.
And now it's going to keep it in my watch stack. So you see down here I've got
nice.
Autos, locals, and watch. And now I can just keep an eye on that auto.
And keep on checking it out. Okay,
right.
Very
or on
cool.
audio. We'll go back to our breakpoint one more time just so we can actually see it in use. So I step through. Now I'm on my debug log. So when I step over my debug log, you'll notice, it popped away. It's so quick, it only stays there for a second, so it will print out the debug log or any error issues that you have will eventually show up and should show up. Right?
Yeah, like that's been my challenge, is going back and forth so many times between Mono and Unity, and I'm sure other developers who are using Unity right now for the games, that is a challenge as well. Here's my next thing. Multiple code windows, like in Mono, I have to actually, like, I mean, you've got the tabs on the top. Can we cue up my screen? Or are we watching my screen? Okay, can we cue up my screen? And I'll just show you, like, some of my gripes here that, you know, that I, just challenges, right?
Okay, so we're having a nav rant now?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Dude, nav for navigation, man. I navigate to the right spot.
Okay,
right.
I love this.
Listen. Here's the thing, you know, like, I mean, I'm using Unity, and there's going to be times where I want to see, like, two code items at the same time, maybe side by side, you know, or together, maybe three of them, maybe four of them, where I'm coding different things and trying to see visually these concepts. And you know what? I'm still an old school type of coder. I don't know. I never got used to this whole Playmaker sort of idea where you've got the visual FSMs and stuff. Though it's cool, it is really cool, but I love to see the code. You know what I mean? I love to see my code. Can we do that in Visual Studio?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Show me.
You want me to show you excitement,
show
right? You want that excitement?
I want that excitement.
I'll bring you back up.
I'm trying to figure it out.
I'll sell you on this.
I can't do it in MonoDevelop. I don't know why.
And that's, you know, one of the things that I it's another really nice feature of Visual Studio, and why I love this IDE so much is because it is very, very flexible.
Nice.
So like what you were saying is there's times where maybe you're working on, say I'm working on, these two don't really match up. But say maybe I had the gun and the camera were attached somehow, and there was a lot of issues, a lot of data being passed back and forth, and I wanted to know what was going on in both of them at the same time. So maybe what I want to do is I want to take camera, and I'm going to snap it over here.
Sweet.
And I'm
going to
keep gun open, right?
Look at that.
So
that
now I got
sweet.
Two running at the same time, right?
I like that.
That's pretty cool, eh?
I like that. That, you know what? That's exactly what I'm talking about, because there's going to be times where I'm looking at code, and I'm like, dude, okay, there's a class over here which has a whole bunch of different, you know, variables which I wrote. Maybe I need to write a certain function, but in order to do that, I need to see another piece of code.
Is three enough?
Another. Oh, sweet. Yeah,
is three
man.
Enough for you?
Oh, yeah,
okay,
definitely.
Good.
You know what? Like, that's just me, man. I'm old school like that.
Okay, so let's wrap all this up.
All right.
Did I not blow your mind with that, though? Come
dude,
on, how easy
well,
was that?
Yeah, and you know what?
Are you going home to install it now?
I'm
going to
go home and install it.
Why aren't you installing it right now?
I'm on a show with you, man.
We got bandwidth here. Start downloading it. It's fine.
Downloading it. All right.
Okay, so
secretly.
Basically, yeah. Basically, you know, Unity VS, now named Visual Studio Tools for Unity. Microsoft recently, we acquired Syntax Tree.
Yep.
It's free for use, free for download.
Nice.
Works for both pro and free versions of Unity. And again, you need Visual Studio Pro or higher. But we did mention that you can get a free 90-day trial. Take a look at our BizSpark program.
Where do we go and download that?
Which the
trial. 90-day trial.
Go to the Visual Studio website, and all the information will be on there. First of all, we didn't do a proper intro because I was going to intro you in this part. So you know what? Let's do a proper intro. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, tell us about some of the successes you've had, and then give us a quick demo of Armies of Riddle.
All right. Well, hi, everyone. My name is Abhinav Gupta. That's my full name, but everyone calls me Nav.
We just call him Nav.
Nav, yeah, for short. And I'm the lead developer and CEO of Game Scorpion, Inc. And over the past 3-4 years, I've had my hand in developing over 40-plus apps in over 10-plus markets, including iOS, Apple, Google Play, Android, Windows, Windows Store, Windows Phone, Barnes & Noble Nook, Amazon. I mean, you name it, I've put apps inside of there, and games, a lot of different games. I've also gone around all over North America speaking at various venues to other game developers and other app developers. For example, Mobile Gaming USA, I spoke over there. I got to sit down next to Charles Huang, who's the creator of Guitar Hero.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool.
That
was awesome, you know, just sitting on a panel with
him.
Did
you challenge him to a game?
No, I didn't. Oh. I didn't. I suck at Guitar Hero. I couldn't say that to the guy. You know, I suck at guitar, but I love his game. And, you know, I mean, that's what I get to do. I go around helping others out to help them understand that this is a real business, that people can really do this, that mobile apps are not just a fad, and, you know, video games can actually be something that we can actually help others enjoy and, you know, bring a form of entertainment, but we can also make it a business model and actually make it into a business that will last a long time. And
well,
that's what I'm here to do.
Yeah, you're seeing the AAAs taking over for the movies, right? For the number one entertainment right now amongst people. People reaching to games, and as we get closer to that realistic look and feel, it's going to become more and more like that. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So over the years, I've made a whole bunch of different games. And like I said, you know, I'm from old school times. Back in the day, I used to have my old computer and made Nibbles and stuff like that. Well, I mean, I didn't make it. I used to edit it. And that's where my first beginning of game dev was. And later on, I started coding more and more. And some of the software tools that we use are like, for example, Shiva 3D. I use that for a long time. I'm still in that area, as well as Unity 3D to make our games. And the game that is right now being done is called Armies of Riddle, And it's a cool, you know, card battle sort of fantasy game. And we want to bring it now to the mobile world. And I've got a physical edition here. This is actually the physical demo.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So and this is like cool. This is legitimately the card game.
This is the card game that you can actually
that
purchase.
Then turned into a video game.
Exactly.
Very
and,
cool.
You know, the idea is players are going to want to play it. I mean, recently Hearthstone came out and it just was huge,
oh, yeah.
Exploded. And, you know, this is the sort of idea that I want to bring out is a nice game that players can have fun. And hopefully with some of those Azure tips that you were giving me, integrate that into the game and get more multiplayer going on inside of there across many different platforms.
Yeah, yeah, there's a huge possibility there that you know for multiplayer aspect. I love the fact that you have a physical copy and a digital copy because you know physical copies have kind of been dying off.
Oh yeah, they are definitely.
Years.
It is.
I've seen a little bit of a resurgence though.
Yeah.
When I was at some of the expos and stuff like that, you're seeing a little bit more of the pickup for it.
Yeah.
But what I love about this, and this is one of the things that I learned when I first started out building games, is the best way to test a game is paper prototyping.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, that's the best way is to actually try it out. It's also the fastest and the most cost effective. Just take a piece of paper, write it down, and then have people actually like touch things. People like to hold things in their hand. Even till now, I mean, as much as players love playing the digital games, if you can bring that to them physically, it just does a psychological thing, and that's what we're hoping to achieve with
this
year.
Well, look at Skyrim.
Yeah.
Or not Skyrim, sorry, Skylanders.
Skylanders, yeah,
right?
That's huge. I mean,
kids
everywhere.
Kids are loving that because you get
the
physical toy.
The amount of times
toy.
My kids have stopped me, it's like, you know, I want one of these, you know?
Yeah, and it's because, like you're saying, they got the physical toy, they have the real-world interaction, and then they have a digital interaction, and that real-world interaction is something they can take away.
Absolutely.
Right? And same with this. If I'm on a road trip, I can take this and play with my friends
that's
while I'm
right.
in the car. Or if I'm by myself, I could, you know, fire up my mobile device and play the game.
Exactly.
Right? So
and
it's
that's
cool.
That's a cool
Very
thing.
Cool.
And, you know, the key there is players will get a chance to see the game in different lights. Many times game developers who are, especially, I mean, mobile is now the place where games are pretty much really exploding. Many times they just focus on the digital and they forget that there is another arm that you can actually hit, which is merchandising.
Mm-hmm.
Angry Birds did this very well. You see Angry Birds everywhere. I think the craziest one I saw so far was Angry Birds toilet paper. I think I saw that.
I've seen that. I've seen chewable vitamins. I've seen
like, I mean,
erasure tops. Like
that's what I'm saying.
Band-Aids.
If you can get into merchandising, that will really, really help you out. And what ends up happening is players will connect even more if you could start doing that. And so with Armies of Riddle, we're trying to bring that out to also have a physical edition which players can play and hold in their hands, kind of like a souvenir, but it's not our main focus. Our main focus is on a mobile game, and this is kind of like a nice added addition that, hey, if you want to do, you can actually do that.
Yeah, you know, it's really cool. I love the idea, and like I said, it's really cool that you know able to tie the two together and keep that kind of a flow. So let's see it.
Yeah, let me show you guys a demo of what we've got so far. This is a very early prototype, so here we go. I'm going to put it on my screen there. Can you guys hear it? There we go, we're gonna put it on. There's our nice little logo there, as you can see. All right.
Hello, Zero. Welcome to Riddle. Our world is full of powerful
We wanted to do, this is the cinematics I'm talking about. We wanted to do some nice cinematics. So you got a nice bit of cinematics here to really get users into the game, make them want to say, hey, you know what, this looks really cool. We wanted full 3D graphics so that you could interact and really have fun. We wanted a nice little tutorial to teach players, you know, what this game is about, how to play it. This is the tutorial section here. And this main guy, his name is Ayoshi. And he just basically goes over what are the cards, how the game works, how a game will take place sort of idea. And, you know, he's explaining the whole thing.
So it's basically your standard deck builder slash war type game, right?
Well, the neat thing that we're trying to do is we're trying to make it in such a way where if you actually buy the game, you don't have to get, like, booster pack after booster pack after booster pack with useless cards, right? Mm-hmm. That's been a catch a lot of times. You know, you get a whole bunch of booster packs, useless cards, and you're like, man, I just spent money on this.
And you maybe got one card that you wanted.
That's right. Yeah. We're actually focusing on every single time you get a pack, every card is useful. Every single card is useful. When you buy a booster, same thing. And we're going to make it so that we've got different monetization options, specifically two of them that we're planning to use in the game. Number one is in-app purchase. We don't want to bombard our users with you know, too much nonsense that's out of there. We do have ads, but non-intrusive. So at the end of a game, you'll get a little, you know, pop-up, which will probably say, okay, here's some sponsored treasure chests, and, you know, you get to watch a video for 50 gold, mm-hmm. right? Something like that.
So but you're rewarding the user for watching it. If they're going to spend the time.
And it's optional. Exactly. Right? It's optional. We want to really make cool. sure that users get a great gameplay experience versus currently what's happening in the industry where they're seeing like a whole bunch of ads, you know, popping up all the time.
A lot of those games feel like a mad grab for cash. It's not even like they care about the game
right,
anymore.
Right.
They're just, the game might be fun or something, but basically they're just throwing in any ads and any way that they can charge you.
And I'm actually pretty bad for that. I've done that to myself, and I'm not, you know, I'm not going to say that I don't do that. I've done that before. A lot of app developers, I mean, that's been a business model for a long time now, mm-hmm. right? And I'm just hoping that hopefully in shows like this, we talk to the game developers, and hopefully as a game development community, we can shift away from that and focus right back on the original concept, which was making a great game at the end of the day, making it so that we have users who are engaged, who love our game, versus I'm just going to make a Flappy Bird clone just so I can make money, right? It works in the short term, but as a long-term strategy, it sucks.
That's always the strategy that I try to preach is don't whale hunt. That's my best way of putting it, right? Don't whale hunt. Don't go for the one or two big fish in the sea that are going to give you a pile of money.
Exactly.
Make it so that you're going to build up not just your brand as a company, but the IP, right? So like what you're doing here with this game is you're really building up the brand, right? You're
That's
trying to build up that fan base.
Exactly.
Because at the end of the day, you're going to make more money off your fan base than you are off of a few in-app purchases on a niche game.
And you know what? I would say to game developers, take some time on your games when you've got that base going. I mean, at the beginning of your business, you're going to use that whole cloning app idea just to get some cash flow coming in. But when you've got cash flow coming in, at that point, take that time to go and make a really good game and have fun with it, right? And remember, at the end of the day, players are playing this game. You've got to go and show it to them. Don't just assume that what you like, they're going to like it too, right? And I've seen that happen so many times.
A lot of us do that. We get into the habit of making games for ourselves. Right, we're too worried about the experience as ourselves as opposed to what the experience is for the user. So that's a really good piece of advice is take,
And you know what? You bring up a good point. At the same time, I will go also the flip side. Sometimes players just don't know what they want, mm-hmm. right? I think I heard a quote about Henry Ford, and someone had asked him, you know, Henry Ford went out and asked people what they wanted, and they said faster horses,
mm-hmm.
right? So at the end of the day, people may not even realize what they want. Right, and so that could also benefit you if you've got a really good game idea and building up a brand following. But it takes time, it takes effort. You got to go out there. You got to market.
You got to listen to them, right?
You got to listen to them. Get user feedback.
You need that
feedback.
Data.
Yeah,
you need
yeah.
the analytics from your game. You need to be talking in the forums. You need to have a space for the users to reach back to you and give you that feedback, because that feedback's what's going to make you succeed as a company.
Exactly. You got to have a venue for your users. You got to be able to say, hey, you know what? If you guys got a problem or an idea or something that we could put inside of the game, let us know, and here's how to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that sort of idea. So,
Very cool.
This is that's what Armies of Riddle is all about, and we've got the Kickstarter going on right now.
Yeah, do you want to show, like, where would we find this Kickstarter?
Just go to www.armiesofriddle.com.
Can we get that underneath of us again, right around here somewhere?
There it is. Armies of Riddle. There you go. And it'll actually go to the Kickstarter page. It just started, the Kickstarter just recently. Go there, check it out. You know, we've got all kinds of neat.
Yeah, you got a nice little like a video walkthrough and stuff like that.
Exactly.
You got some nice screenshots.
Yep.
Get a little description of what it is.
And rewards.
You got some really good rewards tiers. I was looking at that earlier.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is kind of cool. And
it's pretty cool. You can actually get like different rewards. You can get copies of the physical game just for pledging. You can try the beta testing. So you know, it's a lot of fun making it, keeping users up to date. But the best part is, it gives me a venue to talk to all our future customers and game players and say, hey, you know what? Do you have any ideas? Do you have anything that you would like to see in the game, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe, who knows, if someone pledges, I can make you into an orc or something.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of, like, Kickstarters with games, right? Like, we've all seen it. How are you finding it? Are you finding it, like, to be very viable? Are you doing this to make money, or are you doing this more for publicity?
To be honest, it's more about publicity and just getting the word out there for people to actually know that the game exists, right? At the end of the day, one of the challenges is that app developers and game developers have in general is letting people know, especially as indies, how do you get the word out there that this thing is coming out? And Kickstarter is a great option to actually get the word out, because there's a lot of people who will, you know, start reporting on your game. They'll start talking about your game. You'll start seeing people tweet about your game. And so, and that too with very little investment. So it's an option that I recommend to new game developers who are indies, who are just trying to get out there and get the word out there that, hey, I'm making this. And a few words of advice. We can actually do a nice little Kickstarter, you know, like some words of advice before you start one. But if you're going to start a Kickstarter, keep the price low when you first start out, because you won't be able to change the price afterwards. I know there's people out there who have big budgets and whatever. Keep it really simple, something that you can hit, like $100 or $500.
Well, I like your strategy behind it too. Yeah. Like you're saying, I'm not looking at this to be the funding, the way that my game's going to be made. Yeah. I'm looking at this as one extra opportunity to reach my audience.
That's right. It's just part of your marketing mix.
Yeah.
And if you've never heard of the term marketing mix, I'll tell you, it's basically all the different avenues that you've got to get the overall marketing done, right? So I'm going to use Kickstarter, and at the same time I might use some AdMob ads, or I might use Facebook ads, or I might actually go out now and do in-person networking. I mean, that's how you and I met, right?
Yeah, we met
networking
at an event.
Is so important, and I mean, there's so many game developers who just don't do this stuff. And, you know, hopefully over time I'll give you guys some tips and tricks and neat things that you can do. You know, go out to meetups.
That's really
say hello, though. Get some business cards made. You really got to do that and get out there and pump it out. Because if you really want to make your game a success, especially as an indie game developer, these things got to be done.
Yeah, it's just like, you can't have that adage of build it and they will come.
It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work, right?
Back in the old days, it did.
Yeah, right. When we first had these mobile segment take off, maybe that was a viable option. But nowadays, you can't do that. You can't expect people just to come because you did something. So
yeah
marketing is definitely a key point.
It's a big key.
More on the technical side. So
sure.
you know this is a 3D game, cross platform. You're talking about hitting the Windows Phone, iOS, Android.
Yep.
Windows 8, that stuff. So what technology are you using underneath?
We're using Unity 3D right now.
Very cool.
It really is a very good tool. In the past, we've also used Shiva 3D, another great tool. Unity 3D has a lot of support, and that's one of the big strengths about it. And that's been a challenge. Every single time as a mobile developer, there are brand new SDKs coming out. SDKs to do all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And Unity just this year, I believe, bought out another SDK company called EveryPlay. I mean, you can do all kinds of neat things with that. Like, for example, you can actually have video recorded images of your actual gameplay and then post them up on YouTube right inside your game. I mean, putting these SDKs inside of your game without market support is a challenge. You have to learn the code. I mean, I used to do Eclipse, JavaScript, and Xcode, but now the cool thing is in Unity, I just click and drag an asset, and boom, it's done. Right? So that's a big time saver for me, and that's why we chose Unity for this game and hopefully games going forward.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of developers I've been talking to have been making that shift because of that issue, right? And it kind of goes back to my rant about IDEs, right? And having all these IDEs to navigate through, it's nice if you can just get everything into one.
Well, yeah, it's definitely become an industry standard, in my opinion. Everywhere you go, every new SDK that comes out, they will always create a Unity addition to it, and that's been really, really helpful. And sometimes it comes down to just having the latest SDK in your game that can mean the difference between you making some good high ECPMs, I'll explain what that term is, and getting more money. ECPM is effective cost per milla. That's the fancy word for it. Or plain and simple, for every 1,000 ad views that I show or every 1,000 views, I'm going to get paid X amount of dollars. All right, so if I show this, whatever it is, 1,000 times, will I make $5? Will I make $10? That's what that term is all about. And it's a very big term, especially as a mobile app developer.
And it varies dramatically depending on what you're doing and what
kind of ads you're showing. I mean, it could be as low as some pennies or up to $10.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it in the double digits, and I've also seen it in the pennies. So another thing about Unity that I find a lot of developers are really liking about it is the asset store.
Yes.
Have you leveraged the asset store?
I've spent thousands in assets. I have. I've spent a lot of money on different assets. And you know what? The challenge is, at the end of the day, you don't use them all, right? You might use some. You might get some assets which are just plain useless. I recommend if you, just every single day, check out the 24-hour sale.
They got really good deals
on it. Or every now and again, they'll come out with, this massive sell-off with a whole bunch of things. keep up to date on that and you'll be able to save some good money. I saved myself thousands of dollars just doing that, waiting for an asset to come up on the store.
Yeah, very cool. You know, and I love the asset store. I leverage it a lot too.
Yeah,
especially definitely. When I'm doing quick demos or something and I need something fast, I'll definitely pull it out of there.
Definitely. Yeah.
I remember you saying to me previously that the one thing that you found from the Microsoft stores, when you put it into the Windows Store and when you put it into the Windows 8 store, Windows Phone store as well, you notice a huge uptick in the other size on iOS and Android.
Yeah.
And you were saying most of that because you were getting this like self-promotion through the Microsoft branding, right? And people talking about it, just, you know, and being going on blogs and stuff like that and people seeing it. So,
well, one of the neat things that actually ends up happening in a lot of people's homes is they don't just have one device, right? We aren't living in a world where everybody has just an iPad, right? There are those who are just like, I'm only Apple. But in the most typical world that we live in today now, you've got, you know, let's say a family of four, each person has their own device preference. You know, you might have a few parents, maybe one of them is a corporate person, they've got a BlackBerry, as well as, you know, maybe an iPhone, maybe they got two phones, right? Mm. And then you got the kids who are coming home, they've probably got an iPad or an Android device. And you've got all these different devices going on. But being able to have your app in all of these different devices, you might have, you know, little Tommy who comes in and he's playing your game on, you know, a Surface tablet. And then after that, you know, his mom sees it and says, hey, that's cool. Can I play that? It's like, I don't know if it's available on the App Store. Yes, it is. There it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, she's playing it. And then, boom, you know, the husband comes home and says, hey, I've got my BlackBerry. Can I play that? Boom, you know, they download it for BlackBerry. I mean, the more markets you can put out there,
the better chance of success.
Yeah, because this is the reality that we live in versus, you know, blinding yourself to the reality that you think that everybody just has one device.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we're also going to be getting into new stuff like cars and fridges and stoves. I mean, that's the whole idea.
Yeah, the future is
future is bright.
Is awesome, right? Like the way I look at it, it's a mobile cloud enabled world.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we're running a little short on time. I would love to sit here and just chat with you.
You need
all
to bring
day
me back.
We'll have to bring you back at some point for sure, because you have some really good insight. And,
thank you.
And I'm sure everyone is enjoying the tips and tricks that you're offering up. So before we go, one piece of advice, if you were to take away anything from this, what would be that piece of advice that you want them to take away?
Don't stop. You know what? Keep on doing what you're doing. A lot of people still don't get the app business. They still don't understand it. It's still a brand new industry by many accounts, but it is mimicking the web world. What happened in the web world is what we're seeing in the mobile world. And think about this. I mean, Facebook didn't start till many years after the web, you know, kind of took off. I think it was 95, 97 in the 90s.
It's when it started to do the uptake.
It started to go up. And Facebook came out like maybe 10 years later,
mm-hmm.
right? So there is still so much opportunity. If you're good at a certain area, I'd say get into these new niche markets, right? If you're good with cars and you're making mobile apps, well, get into the mobile app car market. I mean, that's a huge thing that's going on, right? I just went to one of the events in Detroit and spoke about that. If you're good with appliances, hey, get into things like light bulbs or fridges and stuff. I mean, the Philips Hue is a perfect example. It's a wireless light bulb that you can actually program and, you know, change the lighting.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities out there.
So many opportunities.
A lot of opportunities, especially from looking from the game side of view. There's a lot of opportunities to gamify these things.
Oh, totally gamify it. And that's what I'm trying to say is at the end of the day, this is not just a fad. Too many people are going to try and say this is a fad. No, this is the way the software world and the game world is going to be for many years to come now. And so it's either you shift or you don't. Stay hopeful, stay positive. The mobile game world, and in fact, the game world in general, it is very fruitful, very big. Keep at it. You're going to make it 100%. All right?
Awesome. Great advice. And
God
thank you very
you
much
all,
for
man.
Being with us today. I appreciate it, Nav.
Nice.
Thank you for sharing everything. And thank all of you.
You're going to leave me hanging?
Yep.
Going to leave me hanging? Thanks for having me, man.
That's awesome. And thank you all for tuning in. Again, if you want to reach out to us, reach out to me at ScruffyFern through Twitter, or you can reach us through email as well. We'll make sure we get some links up there on the bottom of the screen. So thank you very much. If you got any suggestions or would like to see some things in the future shows.
If you'd like to see me again, bringing you more tips and advice and tricks, hey.
Show us the fan
bug
love
him.
For Nav, and we'll bring him back.
All right, guys. I shall navigate you to success.
I'm going to wrap this up, and I'm going to go challenge him to a game of Armies of Riddle.
Dude.
Thank you very much.
Take care.